passage that we'll be looking at today is in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, we'll be beginning at verse 14, where the Apostle Paul, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, exhorting believers. Now, an exhortation is an encouragement in the grace of God. And he says in verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings, without complaining, without arguing, that you may be blameless and harmless. That word harmless can be translated sincere. The sons of God, that's what we are by the grace of God, without rebuke, that means in no need of correction, yet we do need correction, don't we? But our goal ought to be without that as much as we can. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. And what I want to talk to you about this morning is believers shining as lights. Shining as lights in this dark world. I had Brother Richmond read that John chapter 1 portion because it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ as being the light of the world. And he is. And the summation of everything that we are as light is summarized in him. He is the light. Whatever light men and women have ultimately comes from him, either as the creator or as the redeemer. There's a light that's given to every man. It's the light of conscience, the light of the law, the light of creation. Sometime when you get a chance, read Psalm 19. That speaks of the light of creation. And yet that light is not enough to enlighten sinners to salvation. And essentially, what the Bible teaches us is that by nature, as we are born naturally, the light that we have by nature, which is the light of conscience, some the light of the law, the light of creation, if left to ourselves, apart from the grace and the power and the goodness of God, we'll turn that light into darkness. Now, Romans chapter 1 speaks of that. When it talks about in verse 18, when it talks about the truth that people have by nature, they'll turn it into idolatry. Worship the creature rather than the creator. But even that light, even that natural light is given by Christ as the creator. That's why he said in him, all things were created by him and not without him. But then there's the light of the gospel. We read it in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6 there. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And that word face there involves his entire person and his work. The face is that which identifies us. When you see a familiar face, you know who it is. And this is what it means when it talks about the face of Jesus Christ. When we see him as he's described by the light of the Scripture, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we know who he is. We know who he is not. You go into some churches and they talk about a Christ that we don't recognize, either in his person or in his work. But when we hear of Christ preached, we recognize him. That's his face, speaking symbolically or metaphorically. But this is the light that he's speaking of here in Philippians 2 that lightens the people of God in the power of the Spirit through the preaching of the gospel. The Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. If you believe, God has shown that light of the knowledge of his glory in Christ to you. He's revealed it to you in the preaching of the gospel, and he's revealed it in you by giving you new life, a new heart, a new mind, new knowledge, and making you willing to receive him and to believe him. That's the new birth. And that's what was spoken of rich in John 1, 12 and 13 there. When he said, you're not born of blood. That is physical descendancy. You're not born of the works of the flesh, and you're not born of the will of the flesh. You're born of God, born from above. And so in essence, we could say what's happened to us. God's turned on the light. We've been delivered from the power of darkness, Colossians 1 says, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And so we know now what we did not know before. We know, for example, the issue of sin. What sin really is. We didn't know that before. All we knew before is that there were bad people and there were good people, and God's going to smile on the good people and he's going to punish the bad people. But we didn't really know what goodness and badness was until that light shone on us in the light of God, who requires a perfection of righteousness and goodness that can only be found in Christ. And that anything less in God's sight is sin. Now, people look at that and they say, well, that's unreasonable for God to do that. That's not fair. But my friend, God can only do that because he is God. He can require no less than he himself is. And he's a holy God. He's a righteous God. He cannot accept anything less. And it's not unreasonable. It's not unfair. And I'll tell you why. Because he has provided a way of goodness and righteousness for anybody who wants it. The problem is, man by nature doesn't want it. That way is the way of Christ, who said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you want it, you can have it. But if you want it, there's something that we know that other people don't know. If you want it, it's God who made you want it. He makes his people willing in the day of his power. And so what we're talking about here is believers shining as lights in the world. There's an outer light, which is the testimony of the gospel and the life lived in the gospel. And then there's an inner light. That's something that we know. And the question is, then, how do we shine? Somebody says, well, we don't always shine. Well, there are times we don't shine. You're right. But how do we shine? What are the ways in which the Bible teaches that? Well, here's the first way. We live our lives by his power, God's power, and God's grace. That's number one. We live our lives by God's power and God's grace. Now, that's an inner light. You can't watch me do things, whether it's in giving things. And we ought to be people who are givers and not receivers. We ought to be. But you can't watch us do that and determine that we're living by God's power and God's grace. But we know it's so. Look back at verses 12 and 13. I preached on these last week. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, he's not talking about working for salvation. He's not talking about works aimed at making us righteous. Because we know better. Now, how do we know better? Because we have an inner light that's taught us better. We have a knowledge that God has given us. And here's what it is, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. We know the reality. I know that when I do good, I'm not the source of it. I'm not the power of it. God, through Christ, is the source and the power of it. Now, you can't tell that by looking at me. So how am I going to shine forth in a dark world in that sense? Well, that comes through preaching the gospel. That comes through preaching the gospel. Over in Matthew chapter 5, you know what this says. In verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Now, sometimes you cannot hide your good works from men. When you're kind to somebody, when you forgive somebody, when you are an obedient person, a responsible citizen, when you keep the speed limit, things like that. We're to be law-abiding citizens. Did you know that? Grace does not give us a free way to break the law. I had a fellow one time that got involved in some things that he could. He is a believer. I believe a brother in Christ. Got involved with some things he shouldn't have got involved in, and he got put in jail. And he got mad because other believers wouldn't bail him out. And I told him, I said, well, they don't need to bail you out. You need to be where you are. Why? Because you broke the law. Believers aren't above that. And you need to pray for forgiveness. You need to make amends. All of that. But now, if you say, and he did that, and if you saw him doing that, you wouldn't know that that's by the power and the goodness and the grace of God. So he says, let your light show shine before men. The light is not our good works. He says that men may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. This verse here applies to two aspects of that shining light. Here, and here's what it is. The gospel is the light that does two things. It reveals God's power and grace in the lives of His people. That when you do good, it is good works, not because it's perfect, because it's not. Not because it makes you righteous, because it doesn't. Not because it saves you or washes you away from your sins, because it doesn't. Because it's to the praise of the glory of God's grace. It points to Christ. And the only way that men and women can know that is as you preach and witness the gospel of God's grace. That's the light. That shine. Now, it also exposes the dead works of unbelievers. John wrote about that in John 3:19. He says, the light has come into the world and men loved darkness and hated the light because their deeds were evil. If a person is trying to do good, which all people should. But if that's aimed at salvation, my friend, it's evil in the sight of God because it denies His glory. It denies Christ. Paul wrote in Galatians 2:21, if righteousness come by the law, Christ died in vain. For nothing. It exalts the sinner instead of the Savior. Our lives shining forth in this dark world should be exalting Christ, not us. Now, men may give you the key to the city, and they may sing your praises, but that inner light, you know the real story, don't you? You know better. God be merciful to me, the sinner. That's that inner light. And the only way we can let that shine forth is in the gospel. And that's what he says, that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's all to His glory, not our own. There's nothing wrong with a person trying to establish a good reputation around town as an honest person, a fair person, a giving person. But we know the real story, don't we? We're like Paul Harvey. We know the rest of the story. We know that were it not for God's grace, were it not for the righteousness that we have in Christ, we would be doomed forever. Based on our best works, living in the power of His grace. Paul wrote, finally, my brethren, in Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. That's our strength. Our strength is not our own. That's why Paul, you know, when Paul, you know, he had that thorn in the flesh and it caused him to suffer. I don't know what it was. There's different speculations about it, but the Bible doesn't tell us. So that doesn't matter. We know that he had a problem physically, I think. And when he prayed, the Lord, I think he said he prayed, what, three times? The Lord get rid of it. And the Lord didn't. It was his prerogative. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:10, he said unto me, here's what God's answer to him was, my grace is sufficient for thee. He says, for my strength, God's strength, is made perfect, complete, in your weakness. That's why Paul could say, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. What is that all about? Well, let the light shine. That means when I'm weak, you know what? Such a pitiful persons as we are, that's when we really rely upon His strength more than any other time. Let your light so shine. In that passage that I read in the opening, he talked about the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, shining in our hearts, our minds, our affections, our will. And you know, right after that, in verse 7, he said, for we have this treasure in weak vessels. Earthly vessels, broken pots. We're so weak, aren't we? But think about it. When does that light shine in our lives? When we look to Him. And that's the second thing, how we let this light shine. Living by faith in Christ. How many times in the Scriptures do you see that phrase, the just, the justified, live by faith? Now, that's not the kind of faith that the world has. The world tells you, well, if you believe something strong enough, it'll come true. And false preachers will tell you that too, but that's not true. Men and women have spent their lives believing a lie and dying in unbelief, going under the wrath of God. What is it to live by faith? Well, who are the justified? If the justified shall live by faith, who are these people? Well, they are those who are washed in the blood of Christ, forgiven of all their sins. I'm confident that the sins that I commit are put away by Christ on, were put away by Christ on that cross, and God will not hold me accountable for those sins. You say, well, if that's the case, I'll just go out and sin all I want. Well, go ahead and do what you want. But see, God has shown a light within us that gives us a different want, a different desire. I don't want to go out and dishonor Him by living a sinful, openly sinful life. Do you? Is that what you want? I don't want to go out and dishonor my Lord who has given me everything I have in eternity. I mean, this is talking about eternal life. I don't want to spend this little few seconds that I have on this earth going out here dishonoring Christ by living a life with no holds barred. I don't want to do that. Now, I'm just as selfish as any of us. I love self-pleasure, self-will, self-want. I want my way. And you do too. But I don't want to go out and live my life that way. I want to honor Him. To be justified is to know that God will not charge me with my sins. Why? Because I'm such a good guy? No. Because He chose me before the foundation of the world and made Christ to be my surety and sent Him to die on a cross for my sins. I don't want to go out and live in the sins for which He died. You understand that? And that's why we want to emulate Him. That's another way we shine forth. I'll get to that in just a minute. That's why we want to be like Him. It's forgive as He forgave. Can we do that? I know, I'm not saying this is easy now. To be justified is to be counted righteous in God's sight. based on a righteousness that you and I had no part in producing. Richmond prayed that in his prayer. A righteousness that we have no part in producing. Well, where did I get that? God gave it to me. He imputed it to me. And so how do I live my life? Well, Hebrews 12:2, I quote this all the time. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Living by faith in Him is looking to Him, resting in Him. And then here's the third thing. Shining forth as lights in this dark world, we live by His truth, His Word. Look back at our text. Paul says in verse 15 that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. That's what our nation is, what this world is, in its religion, in everything, among whom you shine as lights in the world. And look at the next line in verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain, that it was all for nothing. How do we shine as lights in a dark world? We hold forth the word of life. We stand for the truth. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, he said, there's coming a time when they won't stand for the truth. Well, that time has come. It's been here all along. We preach the gospel. Isaiah said this back in his day, Isaiah 8:20. He said, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, there's no what in them? There's no light in them. The psalmist said, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I'm going to tell the truth. Now, certainly that applies to the gospel. It applies to what we believe. Witnessing for Christ. Paul said, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. We're never to compromise this gospel with anybody. We're to tell the truth when it's appropriate. We need to use wisdom now. We need to walk through the open doors that God has provided for us. But that also applies to our everyday lives. We're to be honest people in our businesses, in our families, in our dealings with each other. We're to be people of the truth. That's how we shine forth. You remember I mentioned about old Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a publican. Now, a publican back then was a Jew who sold himself out to the Roman government to collect taxes for the Roman government from the Jewish people. And they were well known to be shysters, cheats. And that's what Zacchaeus was known as. And when the Lord saved him, that changed. And it should have changed. It should have changed before, but it didn't. Can false religion bring about that kind of a change in a person? Yes, it can. And many times has. But certainly we would agree that that kind of behavior is not appropriate for we who are to shine forth as lights in a dark world. You understand what I'm saying? So as this mainly applies to the gospel, it applies to everything. We're to live in the light of His truth. The light of His truth, especially in the gospel. Here's the fourth thing. Shining forth as lights in a dark world means to live for His glory. Now, we've already talked about that in Matthew 5. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Not glorify me, not glorify you, glorify God. Paul wrote in Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. We glory in the cross. We glory in Christ. That means to boast. everything in our salvation and in our lives as lights shining in the world is summarized here in 1 Corinthians 1. This is 1 Corinthians 1:29. This is kind of like a summary of what it is to live for His glory. He says, verse 29, that no flesh should glory in His presence. No flesh. But of Him, of God, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom? Whatever wisdom I have, I don't have any room to glory. God gets all the glory. It's the wisdom of God. Righteousness, whatever righteousness I have, it's not mine. It's not in me. It's in Christ. Sanctification, whatever sets me apart, whatever, it's not to, it doesn't glorify me. It glorifies God who set me apart. He set me apart before the foundation of the world in divine electing grace. He chose me, gave me to Christ. He set me apart when Christ died on the cross redemptively. He died for my sins. When He died, I died. When He was buried, I was buried. When He arose again, I arose again. He was my representative, my surety, my substitute, my redeemer. And then He set me apart when He gave me life from the dead in the new birth by the Holy Spirit. It was all His work. I'm the recipient. And then redemption. He paid the price. I didn't even pay one penny. Jesus paid it all. All the debt I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And it says in 1 Corinthians 1:31 that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Whatever you're going to brag about, you want to shine forth as a shining light, glory in the Lord. And then fifthly, here's another one. Living by His example. It's sad to see that many churches today who claim to be Christian preach Christ as nothing more than an example. Not a redeemer. Not a sin-bearing sacrifice. Not a righteousness, but just as an example. Follow His example of love and charity and forgiveness. And it's sad that some preach Him as nothing more than, but let us never forget, we who know better, realize He is our example. What do you mean, living by His example? I mean this, striving to be like Christ in our lives. And here's one thing we keep in mind because of the light, the inner light that shines within us. The goal of the Christian life can be nothing less than perfection. If we're going to be like Christ, if we want to follow His example, nothing less. Now, why doesn't that beat us down and cause us to despair? Because we know that in this life, no matter how hard we try to be like Christ, we're not going to achieve that goal of perfection. We're perfect in Him right now, legally. That's what it means to be justified. I am perfect in Him based upon His righteousness imputed. And I'm confident of that. But I'm not perfect in myself, and you all know that. You don't need me to tell you that. You know that. Well, you do need me to tell you that, because you need to know I know it. And I know you're not perfect either. Yet we're to live as shining lights, trying to be like Him. Look over across the page of Philippians chapter 3 here, verse 14. This is right after Paul had spoken of the fact that he wanted to be found in Christ. Not in himself, but in Christ. Not having his own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness of God by faith. And he says in verse 13, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, to have reached it, to reach the goal. I haven't reached the goal. What's the goal? to be like Christ in my life, in my thoughts. To forgive as Christ forgave. To love as Christ loved. To obey as Christ obeyed. I count myself not as I've apprehended, but this one thing I do, I'm just going to throw up my hands and go home and let it all go to pot. No. He said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Now that's a big step. Can I forget those things which are behind? I think, I don't know, I may have written this and put it in the bulletin today. But things that I remember just plague the heck out of me. Things in my past. That's why I'm so thankful that God says I'll remember them no more. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Well, look at verse 15. This is important. Let us therefore as many as be perfect, complete. Well, wait a minute. You haven't apprehended now, Paul, but now you're saying you're complete. I'm complete in Christ. I have the full measure of blessings and benefits of salvation by virtue of the merits of Christ, His righteousness alone. So let as many as therefore be perfect be thus minded, and if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same things. And he says, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Follow Christ. Look to Christ. Strive to be like him. Paul said once, be ye followers of me, even as I'm also of Christ. Go back to our text and I'll hurry. Look at Philippians 2. He says in verse 17, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. That's living in the joy of Christ. That's the fifth one. Live in the joy of Christ. Rejoice always, the Bible says. We can look within ourselves and we look at the world and there's a lot to be down about, isn't there? A lot to cry about, a lot to fuss about, a lot to argue about. But if we're going to live as shining lights in the world, let's be people who joy. Rejoice in Christ. He'll never let us down. Has never and will never. We can let each other down sometimes, can't we? But Christ will never let us down. And that's what Paul's saying. If I live or if I die, rejoice in Christ. If it's His will that I be offered up as a drink offering, I'm acceptable to God in Christ. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Look at verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus. Now he talks about Timothy. Timothy was a student of Paul. He said, I want to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. That's sad, isn't it? And Paul didn't have anybody else like-minded with him, but Timothy was the only one. And he sent Timothy to the people of Ephesus. Sent Timothy elsewhere. You can read the books of 1 and 2 Timothy and how Paul instructed Timothy. He says in verse 21, for all seek their own, not the things which are in Jesus Christ. Isn't that sad? All seek their own. He's talking about people who had been with him at one time in the gospel, in the ministry. They're all seeking their own ways, their own glory, not the things of Jesus Christ. That's a sad situation, isn't it? He says, but you know the proof of him, that is Timothy, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. And him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. It's good to see the people of God working together in the cause of the glory of God in Christ. That's a joy. That's an encouragement. And that's what we're to be to each other, living as shining lights. And then he concludes this part by mentioning a man named Epaphroditus, who was probably one of the elders at the church of Ephesus, who Ephesus had sent to Paul in Rome with a gift. And he says in verse 25, he says, "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants," he brought things to help him, "for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that you had heard that he had been sick." Now this Epaphroditus got sick. "For indeed he was sick nigh unto death." This was a serious disease. "But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I send him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, in honor, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me." There's another issue of a true child of God, a brother in Christ, working fervently with Paul in the cause of God, the glory of God and his truth. Epaphroditus. That's a joy. Shining as lights in a dark world. Okay.